And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've been learning in Proverbs chapter 4 that the heart is the spring that all of life flows from. That the heart, our heart, is the most important thing in the world. That the Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, out of the heart spring all the issues of life. So we found from the Word of God that what's in your heart will manifest in your life. The condition of your heart will determine the quality of your life. Sometimes I'll say it this way, your attitude determines your altitude. What's going on the inside of you will determine how far you go, how much territory you take, how much from God you'll receive, and how much fruit you'll produce, what you'll accomplish in life, whether it be in terms of your ministry calling, or even just financially or relationally. The degree of blessing that you'll walk in really is determined by your heart, by what you believe, what you value, how you think, the attitude and the choices and the perspective that's going on the inside of you. And so what we've been learning is that Jesus came to die and rise again, not just to forgive us of sin, that's a big part of it, not just to go to heaven, but to actually heal us and free us on the inside. He's doing a work of freedom and healing and transformation, working in us first and then manifesting it on the outside of our lives. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do, and we've been learning this. And so what's so interesting is that, see, perspective is an internal issue, isn't it? It's a heart issue. It's how you view the world, how you view other people, how you view life, how you view yourself. Your perspective on life, yourself, God, other people, the world, it's from the inside out. If you wear rose-colored glasses, everybody looks rose-colored. If you wear glasses that are tinted green, everybody's gonna look green.
That's right.
And what's going on is we as people, we have values and attitudes and perspectives and beliefs that actually shape the way we relate to other people and the way relate to the world around us and the choices that we make. And it can shape the way we view God. It can shape the way we respond to Him. And so even your internal perspective, your internal way of thinking and reasoning can either open your heart up to receive from God and position you to receive from God, or it can shut you down.
Amen.
And it's all happening in your heart. And so that's why it says in Romans chapter 12, like we just read, be transformed, notice this, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Did you know that your heart thinks? I'm not talking about the thing that's beating on the inside. I'm not talking about your physical heart. I'm talking about the inner part of you.
Yeah.
I'm not even just talking about your brain. Your brain is the physical part of us. But we've learned that we're a spiritual being. The Bible says that you'd be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. We are a spiritual being. We have a spirit that if you're in Christ, your spirit's been born again, reconnected to God. But we also have a soul. That's your mind, your way of thinking and processing, your conscience, your emotions. And you have a will too. That's all going on the inside of you. It's what the Bible means by your heart. The inner part of you. Just like if I were to say the heart of a watermelon. I'm not talking about a beating heart, am I? No, I'm talking about the inner part. Or if I talk about the heart of the matter, I'm not talking about your physical heart, am I? We use that phrase, the heart of matter, get to the core of something.
That's right.
Get to the root of something. And that's what's going on. Your heart is the core of you. Your heart is the spring, the source of the spring. Your heart is the root. And your life, your emotions, your actions, that's the fruit. I don't know if you knew this, but you can think in your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
It says this in Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his, where?
Heart.
See, the Bible knows some things that we kind of forget. We're not just biology. We're not just chemistry. We're not just chemical things. We're not just neurons firing in our brain. All that's happening. All that's important. But we're not just that. We're spiritual beings. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. You have a perspective about life and other people and such, and it shapes you and it shapes your responses. You're actually thinking, you're reasoning, you're considering, you're factoring, and it's happening on the inside of you, in your heart. And how did that stuff get there? We've been talking about this the last few weeks. Influence. Everybody say influence. Influence. Like it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What's being said here? What you allow into your eyes, what you allow into your ears, who you allow to influence you, what you allow to come into your ears, what you watch, what you think about, who you value, who you want to imitate, who you want to be like, who you want to follow. The words you allow to come into your ears. The reality is we are shaped by our family. We are shaped by the neighborhood. That is our perspective, the world we grow up in. I was just talking to my older son. He just turned 11 today. 11, isn't that awesome? And tomorrow he'll be 17. You know how that works. And but I was just telling him, hey, don't, he didn't really understand it. But I said, hey, don't you think, like, when you're young, the world just revolves around us? And he's thinking, huh? It doesn't revolve around me. I mean, he gets that that's not reality. But I said, you know, when you're a kid, I'm the center of the universe. But as you get older, you realize that's not true. But that's all we know. That's all we know is our perspective. Unless, as it says here in verse 20 of Proverbs, give attention to my words. God's talking there. Give attention to my words. Let my words be in your ears. Let my words be in your eyes. Let me influence you. Yeah. And that's why Romans chapter 12 is saying, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Tell you who you are and who you're not. What your value and your worth is or isn't. Don't let the world tell you this is the way you should live. This is the decisions you make should make. Amen. Do this, do that. He's saying, the scriptures are saying, God's saying, don't be conformed, controlled, squished, limited, hindered by the things of this world. Why? Because the world will tell you, be insecure. Right. Base your value on your looks or how much you make. See, and sometimes those kind of words are coming at us from our family or our teachers, sometimes from just society, sometimes from the music or TV we watch and such. And it can shape what we think is real or not real, what we think is important or not important, what we value, what we don't value, what we believe, what we don't believe. And here's the thing, it's powerless. It's weak. The things of this world, even the good things, they'll often limit us from believing God and seeing God's supernatural power bring breakthrough and freedom and blessing in our life. But those are like the good things in this world. But most of the time, what do we see? Lies and deceptions, broken values that we allow to get sown into our hearts, words, seeds that get sown into our hearts by what we are listening to, by what we're watching, allowing it to influence us. In Proverbs chapter 4 and Romans chapter 12, God is saying, let me influence you. Let my word get into you. If anything, the whole few weeks that we've been studying the heart of the matter, we've been talking about our heart, but what's really the heart of the matter? Guess what it is? The word, God's word. Listen, if you want heaven's results, you need heaven's words. Amen? Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. If you want the results, the fruit from the Word of God, if you want to see what the Bible, the people in the Bible saw, like the book of Acts, like the people who saw miracles, if you want to see the promises of God come to pass in your life, the promises of God is made in the Word, you need God's Word in your heart. If you plant the seed of God's Word, it will produce the fruit of God's Word. If you plant the seeds of the gospel, it'll produce the fruit of the gospel in your life. If you let God's word come into your life, you'll see God's results in your life. If you want heaven's results, you need heaven's words, heaven's perspective. But if you want to be limited by the things of this world, then just keep listening to the people of this world. See what I'm saying? If you want the world's results, then listen to the world. If you plant the seeds of this world in your heart, then that's what you will get. And so that's why the Bible says, no, don't be conformed anymore to this world. Don't let that influence you. Let me, God is saying, let my word influence you and shape that internal perspective on the inside of you. It's like this lady, one time this lady, older lady, she couldn't really get out of her house. And so she'd just sit in her living room and she'd kind of watch the neighbor, and she grew up there. She lived there, she raised her kids, and now she's older and such. And she's just sitting in her house and watching the people outside, watching the people in the neighborhood. And every day she's just looking, and she said, man, it's just dirty outside. Everybody dirty. The houses are dirty. The trees are dirty. The people are dirty. They're just dirty. And one day the pastor comes over to visit her and pray with her. You know, she doesn't get to church anymore. And he comes in and they sit down. They're having some tea and they're talking. And she's just saying, pastor, but the world just so dirty. The neighborhood's dirty. Even the people are dirty. And he just listened, drinking his tea, and he's just listening to her. And he says, can you excuse me a second? Yeah, sure. And he says, I'll be back. And he goes outside, and he turns on the hose, and he just sprays the window with water. Comes back inside, sits down, and she said, everybody's clean. Sometimes it's our perspective of people. She's just sitting there watching the world through her dirty windows. See, sometimes what we see in other people, it's really what's going on in us. I've seen that before. The people who are the, if you will, the crooks of the world, they're the ones who don't trust anybody. And of course, it's hard when we've been hurt too. Okay, but I'm just saying. What I'm saying is, I've seen that before. The Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure. When the motive of your heart is so good and you just want to bless people, that's what you do. That's what you think. Not to be gullible, right? Not to think that. But I'm just saying, when your heart is pure, everything's pure. When there's light on the inside of you, truth on the inside of you, you walk in that. But a lot of times, what we judge about ourselves, we'll end up judging about other people, right? Where we're not trustworthy, that's what we will put on other people. What does the Lord want to do? He wants to clean us, free us, heal us from the inside out. You know, you've got to understand something about who we are as people. Even our physical brain that God made, It's an amazing machine, right? It's amazing. God made this amazing brain. Scientists are studying the brain more and more and learning more about it. I love studying what other people find out about our brain. Fascinating. Yeah. You know, it's very important for us to understand something about the brain. It's kind of like a computer in this sense. It's a processor of information. Your brain is not the source of truth. I know that's hard for some people because you hear some people, they talk about like this. Well, no, I think for myself. I think that's the scariest, the person who's like, no, I choose what I'm going to believe. Really? Do you remember that one philosopher said, no man is an island? It's true. You can't deny that we're all influenced by something and somebody. You can't deny that we're being influenced all the time. Brainwashed all the time. Now, it's true that you can decide what you'll believe and what you won't believe. You'll decide what's going to come into your ears, into your eyes. You can decide that. That's true. But to think that nobody influences me, I just influence myself. No, that's not true. You ever hear those experiments, you know what I'm saying? Like the kids who are playing a trick on their teachers, you know? And they say, okay, everybody tell the teacher. This is bad. Don't do this. I heard people do this before. Everybody tell the teacher she doesn't look so good, you know that she doesn't, oh, are you sick? So, you know, first kid comes up, are you feeling okay? You don't look so good today. And the teacher first is like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine, I'm not sick. You know what I'm saying? But after the 10th kid, you know, ma'am, you're not looking so good. She's starting to think, I don't know if I'm feeling so good. See? Right? Do you know, in fact, I'm going to tell you an experiment right here. This is a jacked up experiment, by the way. But they did this to some kids. A sociological experiment. They grabbed a bunch of kids in a school. They wanted to see the influence of words. And we know words have the power of life and death. So they grabbed a couple kids and they had one kids in one class. And they said, okay, we did some research and we found out the people with darker color eyes, they're smarter. And the lighter color eyes, they're not smarter. We figured this out. So what we're going to do is we're going to separate you into two classes, the smarter class and the not smarter class, is what they said. They did this as an experiment to see what would happen if you speak those kinds of words to kids. So they put the darker color eyes over here and then the lighter color eyes over there, and that's what they did. And guess what happened? The kids that were told that they were smarter began to excel, began to do better, have better test scores, behave themselves. And the kids who were told they were not smarter, guess what they did? They tried less. They didn't give themselves wholly. There were more classroom problems. Yeah. Guess what they did next? After, I don't know, a couple of weeks, I don't remember the details of this experiment, though, but I know it's a real one. They gathered the kids together and say, oh, we messed up. We were wrong. We were wrong. Actually, we were wrong. It's the other way around. And they just switched it on the kids. Now I'm thinking, man, those kids are jacked up now. Right. Experimented. You better not do that to my kid, you know? Anyway, so they switched the kids, and now the kids we said, oh, no, now the lighter color eyes. No. Now they were smarter. We found out that really they're smarter. And then the dark, and guess what happened? Same thing. Wow. Influence. Words. Wow. Words, 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 words. Words have power of life and death. That's why we've been talking about our words, our own words. But listen, the words you hear, the words you allow to come into your ears, into your eyes, who and what you allow to influence you, it'll shape you. And your brain is a processor of information. If you tell your brain or someone tells your brain over and over again, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, you never amount to anything, it will begin to shape the way you see yourself and the world and other people. But if you tell your brain the truth, if somebody speaks to you words of life and truth that says, no, you're smart, you can do whatever you're called to do by God. God is with you. You speak that over and over. You're smart, you're smart, you're smart. You'll believe it. Yes. And it is the truth, by the way. I like to call your brain the smart muscle. That's what I call it. I tell my kids, you got to use your smart muscle. Because then they don't always want to use it. It's like picking up a box and carrying it. I'm tired. Well, sometimes doing math make your brain tired. You just got to exercise your smart muscle. Do you get what I'm saying? You reason in your heart. Let me give you an example. Do you remember Abraham? Abraham was a man of faith. Did you know that he reasoned in his mind? He reasoned in his heart. Do you know that faith reasons? So we don't think about that. Sometimes people say, oh, man, I think too much. No, that's not your problem. You don't think too much. You're thinking about the wrong thing. Okay. If you were thinking about the right thing, thinking too much would be a good thing. Yeah. It's not thinking too much or not thinking too much. What you probably mean is I'm worrying. Right. Which all that means is you're meditating on something. And it's not producing good fruit. If you've got anxiety, if you've got fear, if you've got lack of joy, those feelings are the fruit of your thoughts. You know that you reason in your heart. You think in your heart. And your feelings are the fruit, the manifestation of what you're thinking. You want to change your feelings, change your thinking. And then the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you want to change the way you talk, you got to change your thinking by filling your heart with the Word of God. And then what happens when you change your words? It'll change your life. Because your words have the power of life and death. So do you remember Abraham? So remember Abraham? He had no kids. His wife was barren. He was barren. They were old. They were way past childbirth, right? In their 90s. It says in Romans chapter 4, it says, let me say, that, I'll just say it. It says, and Abraham did not consider his own body. And then it goes on to say, but he was fully convinced that he who promised was able. He did not consider his own body. What does that mean? He didn't reason in his mind. He didn't allow his heart to reason. Well, I mean, I can't have a kid. My wife is barren. I'm barren. That's never going to happen. But the Bible actually says he considered. He reasoned in his heart. He calculated. And it says, actually, he says he did not reason about his body being dead. He did not consider his body dead. So what happened was, people of faith, we don't deny the circumstances. We just deny their diagnosis. We deny the power of that circumstances. See, what happens is, see, okay, it's like math. This is why I like math, because math teaches us how to reason, okay? It's not just about math. It's about reasoning, okay? He reasoned in his heart, I'm barren, my wife's barren, but God can do whatever he wants. Amen. I'm going to have a kid. Woohoo! Faith reasons. God said your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky in Genesis 15. And it says that he looked up at the heavens and God said, look, they're going to be like the stars. You're going to have descendants. You're going to have kids like the stars. And it just says like this. And Abraham believed God. Yeah. He's just like this. Cool. Because yeah. The words paint pictures in our mind. God say, no, this is what it's going to look like. This is what your life's going to look like. This is what I'm going to do if you'll walk with me and follow me. And Abraham was like, cool. Okay. Then he's got a barren wife, and he's barren, and he's got to factor that into the equation. And he's got to say, wait a minute, how's this going to happen? And we all know, in the natural, it can't happen. The world will say, now that's impossible. The world will say, you're crazy. The world will say, it's not going to happen. Religion will tell us, no. Right. But Abraham, it says, he didn't consider his body. But was fully convinced that God made a promise and was able. See, what happens is when we factor in the truth of God, it changes everything. The truth that God is can do anything. The truth that God is faithful. When he makes a promise, he's going to keep it. When you think like that in your heart, it changes your perspective. So now Abraham looked at his body and he looked at his wife's body and he said, yep, but God. Everybody say, but God. But God. It's like math. 0 + 0 + 1 = 1. You get what I'm saying? We'll keep it real simple here. 0 + 0, yeah, that's 0. But doesn't matter how many zeros you got, you add a 1 to it, you got 1. Amen. So you got barren plus God, bam, fruitfulness.
That's right. Amen.
You plus God equals the results of God. Amen. You can take all of your lack, your inability, and if it was just you, well, that wouldn't be so good, huh? I know for me, if it's just me, if I'm just looking at me and my ability, if I'm just looking at my ability to provide or my ability to pastor, well, they ain't looking so good. But I have to be like Abraham, not considering myself, not considering my inabilities, not considering those things. I might be a 0, but you take me plus God and we can do anything. Because the Bible says nothing is impossible for God, but then it also says, Jesus says, and all things are possible for him who believes. Faith reasons. Faith will take the truth of God and factor it into the equation. You've got to factor God into the equation. You've got to say, but God is for me. But God said. You've got to begin to add God and factor God and consider and reason. Wait a minute. See, because if you don't factor God into the equation, if you don't reason in your heart and see things from God's perspective, you'll limit yourself to your own inabilities. Remember, listen, I love this verse here in Hebrews 11. It talks about Abraham. It says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He his son, right? And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Listen to this in verse 19. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. See, many people don't realize this, that God had said, Isaac is going to be your son through whom all your descendants are going to come. Said it. This is the promised son. So after Abraham and Sarah believed God, they had this child, this miracle child. Yes. And then God says, now I want you to offer up your son. Now, this is just a test. God is not a human sacrificing kind of God, right? Abraham didn't know all that. He didn't have the Bible and all that. And it says right here that Abraham was like, huh, I wonder why God would have me do that. This is the promised son. So it says right here that Abraham concluded. He reasoned in faith. He figured, okay, wait a minute. If this is the promised son, if this is the one that God's going to bring the promise through, and he wants me to offer him up, well, I guess he's just going to have to raise him from the dead. Amen. Do you see how faith thinks? See, our natural carnal mind will not think that way. And you won't think that way if you don't know who God is. But if you know who God is, if you know his love, if you know his faithfulness, if you know the promises of God, if you know his ways, you'll think differently. I mean, come on, think about Peter. He sees Jesus walking on water. Hey, Jesus, if that's you, command me to come walk on water. Who thinks like that? Hey, Jesus is walking on water. I could do that too. Who thinks like that? Somebody who's been discipled by Jesus. Yes. He's had the word of God influence him. He's been hanging out with Jesus, and now he's thinking, that doesn't look so impossible anymore. See, because when you hang out with God, when you're discipled by Jesus, the impossible looks possible. The supernatural looks natural. And so Peter's like, hey, I want to walk on water. And so, of course, Jesus says, come on. And Peter begins to walk on the water, but then what did he do? He looked with his eyes. He allowed to be influenced by the waves, and the waves look bigger than him. Okay. And he begins to say, factor in, right? Jesus plus me equals we can walk on water. Minus waves. Right. Uh-oh. Right. And it began to sink. See, any time that I allow that natural thinking into my own heart, that's when that fear or that worry comes in, and I begin to sink too. Hey. Listen, what am I trying to say? What's the word saying? Guard your heart. Guard your eyes and ears. Guard who and what is influencing you. And do the opposite. Flood your heart with the word of God. That's the whole point of these last few weeks. Flood your heart with the word of God. Let God's word influence you. Shape you. Change your perspective. This cannot be done casually. This cannot be a little bit of Bible here and there while I'm flooded with the voices of the world. We've got to silence some of the voices of the world. Cut them out. And allow God's word to influence us. Listen to the way that God says it in Isaiah 55. You guys maybe heard this before. For my thoughts are higher. Well, he says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, right? God's saying, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So a lot of times we quote that as like, whoa, God just works in mysterious ways. We quote that, we're misquoting it. We're misunderstanding, we're saying, well, we could never think like God. No, that's not actually what he's saying. He's saying, no, I want you to think like me. I want you to be transformed on the inside by the renewing of your mind. I want you to come up to my level and think like my thinking. See the world through my perspective. I want my promises to shape your expectations. So he said, goes on to say this in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Listen to this in verse 11. So shall my word be. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper the thing for which I sent it. What's God saying? Listen, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But just like I send rain to the earth and it causes fruit, so I'm going to send forth my word to you, and if you'll receive it, it'll produce fruit in your life. Amen. If you'll let the word of God get inside of you, you'll see God's results. If you'll let heaven's reality get in the inside of you, you'll see heaven's results. But this is difficult, isn't it? It's difficult because, again, we're told constantly that these things are impossible. Think about what Jesus had to face. He comes to earth and he comes to bring healing, and he's dealing with people who they don't imagine that God could physically heal them. We deal with this today. We depend so much on doctors and medicine and technology, which are not bad things, but we're told constantly, you know, oh, you're sick, go to the doctor. Oh, yeah, oh, you gotta go to the doctor, right? Instead of training ourselves to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, hey, do you want me to go to the doctor? Do you want me to take that medicine or not? What do you want to do? Instead of asking the Lord, who is our healer, the Bible says the Lord is our healer. I remember one time Jesus was in Capernaum, and everybody filled the house. So many people, nobody could get in. And there were some Pharisees there, the religious leaders. And it blows me away. This verse blows my mind because it says in Luke 15 that the Pharisees were there. And it says in verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It says, and that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who's them? The Pharisees. These religious leaders who had come to judge Jesus and decide if he was really from God or not, they had physical ailments and sicknesses in their body, like the rest of humanity. And they came with their hard hearts, and they came with no expectation, with no honor in their heart for Jesus, and they came with their hands folded and their grumpy attitudes, yeah, watching Jesus, listening to his teaching. And it says the whole time, the power of God was there to heal them. Jesus wanted to heal the Pharisees. He wanted to change them. And the own condition of their heart kept them. Here comes this man, these four friends carrying this man who couldn't walk, and they straight up break through the roof. Yeah. I mean, they straight up destroy another man's property, right, because they could care less about the roof because their friend needs to get healed. Now that's faith. Yeah. And Jesus actually says, and Jesus saw their faith. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's watching them destroy the roof, and he says, now that's faith. He says, these people are so desperate, they can't get into the building, so they're willing to break through the roof to get this man to me because they're convinced if Jesus will touch my friend, he'll be healed. That's reasoning in your heart. It's just like that woman who reasoned in her heart and spoke words like this, if only I touch Jesus, if only I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. That's how faith reasons. When you believe God's word, you think like that. Well, man, if I get with Jesus, I'll be changed. See, faith reasons, I need to ask God and God will come through for me. So they get this man down to Jesus, right? And he can't walk. And Jesus looks at the man and says, son, your sins are forgiven. I mean, he doesn't even talk about his physical sickness. He goes right for the heart of the matter. He goes to the issue of shame and sin in this man's life. And he says, you're forgiven. Now that's hard for us to believe right there. Our natural mind says, no, shame and unworthiness, and you've done too many things, and God can't forgive you, and forgiveness is not possible. But in the gospel, we know Jesus already paid for our forgiveness. He already paid for our forgiveness. We're forgiven. And these Pharisees, listen to the language it says right here. It says in verse 20, when he saw their faith, this is talking about Jesus, he said to the man, man, your sins are forgiven you. And then it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to listen, reason. The reasoning in their heart, the thinking this way. Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And it says in verse 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts. And he goes on to say, why are you reasoning in your hearts? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. They were reasoning in their heart. Their perspective was, Jesus can't forgive sins. Jesus can't heal this guy. And then I love it how Jesus does it because he says, oh, really? He doesn't say it like that. It's like my flair, right? And he says, oh, really? Let me show you. I'm going to prove to you that I can forgive sins. What's harder, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Well, it's harder to say rise and walk because you got to show it, right? And he turns to this man who's never walked and he says, get up and take your bed. And the man gets up. Boom! The power of God hits him and he starts walking. Amen. Everybody's cheering and celebrating. And listen, the whole time the Pharisees missed it. The whole time the Pharisees missed the miracle God wanted to do in their life. Why? Do you get what I'm saying? I've seen this. I've seen this as a pastor. I've laid hands on people and I've seen them healed. Eyes open, legs grow. Yeah. And not just me, friends of mine. A church community is not just me. You know, it's not like I'm like the holy man or something. Coming together as a church, we've seen cancer gone. Yeah. We've seen the power of God break into people's life. But I've also seen it where people don't want to receive it. Well, I hope God will do it. Well, you know, God will just do what God wants to do. Everything happened for a reason. Their reasoning in their heart and their reasoning, which is not according to the Word of God, just human reasoning, natural reasoning, religious reasoning, shut down the power of God. Like it says here in Mark 7:13, it says, Jesus says, you make the Word of God of no effect through your traditions. You take your traditions and your mindsets and your religious things and your worldly ways of thinking and you actually nullify, shut down the Word of God. But did you know you can take the powerful Word of God and override your circumstances? You can overcome, whether it's physical healing. This man couldn't even walk. Boom, he walked. Whether it's forgiveness of sin. Whether it's provision, remember Jesus? Why are you worried? Yeah. Why are you worried about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat? Your Father knows what you need. See, the truth that Father loves you and knows and cares overrides. Jesus is not saying deny the circumstances. He's saying one truth outweighs the other truth. Amen. Factor God into the equation. Reason in faith. This is what we need to do. To guard our hearts against the influences and the lies of this world and religious traditions and let God's word shape us and flood our hearts. This is what the Lord is telling you right now. Listen to the Lord. The Lord is saying, I've got you. Don't listen to the voice of shame and unworthiness. Listen to my voice of forgiveness. Don't listen to the world that's limiting you. Listen to me. I called you. I created you, says the Lord. And I can produce my will in your life. See, the Lord is saying, listen, don't worry. I've got you. I'm for you. And the Lord's trying to change the way we think. Listen, if we'll change the way we think, it'll change our feelings. It'll change the way we talk. It'll change our expectations. I guarantee you'll receive more. I guarantee you'll begin to receive from the Lord. I had some good stories, but I ran out of time. I'm telling you, Romans 12:2 is like my favorite verse when I first came to the Lord because that's when my eyes were open. I came to Jesus, my heart was open to the Lord, and I started realizing, man, I've been lied to my whole life. Yeah. I've been told this is reality. And now all of a sudden I see the Word of God and my eyes were open to His love, to His power. And I've seen it. The Lord had to change my thinking. Like when I was a young man, 16, bound in lust, the Lord's saying, I'm thinking, something like that, you think you're going to stay in there forever, stuck in some addiction or whatever. And the Lord began to change my thinking. No, I want you to be free. I want it more than you. What? And I began to see in the Word of God that says in Romans 6:10, consider yourself dead to sin, alive to God. You got to see it. That you already died to sin. You have power over sin. So I began to think that way. I got power over sin. It's God's will for me to walk free. And that's exactly what happened. 16 years old, walked right out of lust and walked in freedom. New man. I've seen the Lord do this time and time again, but He had to change my thinking first. See, if you don't think your marriage can be transformed, if you don't think your provision can come from God, you'll never wait on Him and expect Him. You'll never ask Him with confidence and boldness. See, we've got to let the Lord change us, change our thinking, and realize, I want to do it.